The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello and welcome to this edition of Stockhead Rock Yarn. I'm your host, Peter Strachan, and today we're delighted to have Aidan Platel in front of the microphone yet again. Aidan is the Managing Director of Auroch Minerals, a nickel-focused exploration company with a very active program. And so we're very excited to catch up with Aidan and find out what's going on. I know we've seen some drilling results from their Nepean project, Aidan, and perhaps we can start there and perhaps you can tell us what's the significance of the results you've got so far. And I know you're still drilling there and what you're aiming for there.
Yeah, g'day, Peter. Thanks very much for having us again. Certainly pretty exciting results at Nepean. So we're probably two-thirds of the way through our current 3,500-metre RC program, our maiden drilling program at Nepean. And as you said, we've announced the first six holes. We've had the results for the first six holes. These were very focused on the near mine mineralisation. So what we set out to do is really to join the existing mineralisation that's around the remnant mineralisation around the Nepean mine to some very high grade shallow mineralisation that was discovered in drilling in 2008 to the south of the mine. So there was about a 200 metre gap roughly between the existing mine and this new high grade pod that was found. So we put some drill fences in between, and the first six holes certainly showed some very high grade, quite thick intersections, within 70 metres from surface, realistically, up to 5.6% nickel, which is pretty special at any depth, really, and up to 0.5% copper. So we've successfully joined the existing remnant mineralisation of the Nepean mine right through this gap to the high grade mineralisation to the south. And I guess what that means is that we have over 500 metres of strike with up to two lenses of high-grade massive nickel sulfides. Each of these is sort of 3 to 6 metres average on thickness within 100 metres from surface. So really does present a case for a potential shallow open pit mining scenario that could really generate some significant early cash flow. So we'll be certainly looking into that as we move forward.
So, Aidan, what's the mineralogy? Is this a fresh rock that would be suitable for the Kalgoorlie nickel concentrator?
Most certainly. It's nickel sulfides. It's within the transition zone and into the fresh rock zone. So we expect to see some biolarite, but certainly it's fresh primary sulfides for the main part. So most definitely suitable ore for the Kambalda processing facilities, and that's obviously where the Nepean ore used to go back in the day in 1970 to 1997 when it produced over 33,000 tonnes of high-grade nickel sulfides. So certainly expect that to go straight through the Kambalda processing facilities.
And the copper's not an issue? That's an extra bonus for BHP if they get that?
Certainly BHP will pay copper credits if it's a high enough threshold, which I expect the grades we've got will certainly meet that threshold, correct.
So, yeah, nickel nearly $20,000 a tonne. So, that's like $1,000 a tonne for ore at 5% nickel. It's be good if you could find some ore like that.
It's certainly pretty special, yes. Yeah. So, as I said, the simple maths of the 500 metres of strike, we fully expect that would come out roughly around 3,000 to 4,000 tonnes of contained nickel. And certainly at these current prices, that's fairly significant cash flow.
So it is shallow enough to be open pitted. You wouldn't sort of develop underneath it from the underground mine and drop it down and dig it out that way?
No, I think it certainly makes sense for an open pit scenario. And what that does as well, as a secondary bonus, I guess, is it really opens up the chance then to decline off that possible open pit and back down into the old workings. And that gives us the ability to maybe open up some drill cutties and really explore that depth potential at Nepean from an underground drilling perspective rather than the deeper holes drilled from surface.
So have you those results that you reported, are they all of the results from that area or are you still waiting on those? I know you're drilling regionally, We can talk about that in a minute, but have you still got more results from around the old mine setting?
Yeah, we did 10 holes there, so we've still got another 4 holes to come in the next week or so. Some of those holes were really step off to the south, just to test if that lens still goes to the south. So we'll see if that's the case or not. But certainly I think, you know, we should see some nice grades still in the next 4 holes to come. And at the end of the program, we'll probably stick another couple of holes in that region as well after these more regional holes, as you've said.
Yeah, and the good thing about drilling on nickel sulfides is you can pretty well see it in the rock chips as it comes out.
Oh, that's certainly the case, yep. Obviously, Campbell-style mineralisation, you will get sulfidic sediments and you will get those massive sulfides that aren't nickel-bearing, so that's a little bit of a red herring visually, but certainly logging the chips, and we do have portable XRFs on site as well. That certainly gives a good indication of when you're onto the nickel sulfides.
So your program, I think from memory, was like 3,500 metres, and you're still drilling on some regional geophysical targets that you've identified. How's that going?
It's going well. Like I said, we're about two-thirds of the way through the program. We had a few delays, I guess, with some of that rain from the cyclone tail end that went through the goldfields and dumped a lot of rain, but progressing well. Certainly, we are looking at maintaining this rig on site for the foreseeable future. So drilling's going well. Obviously, these greenfield targets are pretty exciting mag highs. I'm really keen to see what they involve there, but it is very much greenfields. Most of them have never seen a drill hole, so it's really about getting that geological information, assessing that ultramafic package, you know, all the right elemental characteristics in that basal flow in particular, and that all-important footwall contact. So pretty exciting drilling, and looking forward to what we can see there.
It's amazing that no one else has done this before. Aidan, I mean, is this because of the new geological interpretation, or they found this high grade, you know, 3% nickel ore body and thought, yeah, fantastic, we don't need to do any more and just stop looking, or what was the story?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest, and it's a case of the whole Norseman Wiluna Greenstone Belt. I think, you know, a lot of the companies had larger land packages, and when you really do get a good hit, I guess it's natural to focus on that one hit, I guess, and develop it and see how big it is and turn it into a mine. And often these other good targets get left behind because you're focusing on that one that you've found. So I think it certainly is a bit of that case. And often, again, it's the modern day exploration. We certainly do downhole EM on all of our holes. It's really your best friend for looking for massive nickel sulfides. And certainly EM in particular has come a long way in the last 5 years, much less 15, 20 years ago. So we really rely on our downhole EM on all of our exploration holes, and we also have a ground moving loop EM survey planned from the PN to start in March, which really will be pretty critical, I think, and really expect to see some nice plates come from that.
So you've said that what you're going to do now with some of these holes you've drilled is to do the downhole electromagnetics and then come back and drill some more around those discovery holes that you've made here. How much drilling would be required, do you think, now to get to an initial resource over this new mineralization?
I don't think a lot of drilling. The crown pillar itself at the Nepean mine, so the remnant JORC 4 resource, I guess, that's there, the crown pillar's been quite well drilled out, and obviously being so shallow, yep, it's pretty quick to drill out and probably go straight to an indicated, if not measured, resource. So not a whole lot of drilling required to fill that gap and bring that, at least that open pit scenario, into indicated or better. Certainly the downhole EM, it's our exploration model. We get that all-important geochemistry from the assays, from the drilling, and we get that all-important downhole EM surveys. We generate the next lot of targets and we move the rig straight onto them. So that's certainly the case for the exploration, the regional targets.
So nickel is very much an electric vehicle, lithium-ion battery program at the moment, along with you know, copper, which is used in renewable energies, and lithiums and graphites. And of course, the nickel is really one of the main drivers in these lithium-ion batteries going forward. And I think that's why we've basically seen the price of nickel double from just over $4 to sort of heading on to $9 at the moment. And so it seems like there's more to run there at the moment.
Most definitely. And that's certainly what we're working towards. I mean, and that's why we're very much focused on high-grade, clean nickel sulfides. It's all about that battery market and that class one nickel that's needed to for the battery requirements, the battery demand. Certainly nickel price as a whole has come up nicely. And as you said, sitting over $19,000 a tonne at the moment, and fully expecting to see that magical 20,000 plus in the near future. But it's all about that medium to long-term demand that is the battery and that EV disruption that's certainly coming. And I think we very well may see that class one and class two nickel actually separate into two different commodity pricing. So we're very much focused on that large supply deficit that's forecasted because of the battery market.
Yeah. And cobalt price has also doubled. Is there any cobalt associated with the ores at the mineralisation at Nepean?
There's almost always cobalt mineralisation associated with these Kambalda style deposits.
Yeah.
Very little historic sampling for cobalt at Nepean. So that's something we'll have to address if we include cobalt in our resource estimates. Certainly our other deposits have good cobalt grades that we fully expect to see some cobalt credits if the price maintains its high point.
And so, Aidan, you've also spoken about the Leinster program, and I think that's due to kick in March sometime, 3,000-metre program, looking at nickel-copper there in the Leinster area.
Yeah, that's correct. Pretty exciting, the old Leinster project, certainly around the Horn. We did some drilling in the December quarter last year, really proved up that the Horn, again, it's shallow, thick, high-grade, massive sulfides there within 150 metres from surface, over 500 metres of strike, and a really homogeneous, massive sulfide ore there with, as you said, up to 0.5, 0.6 copper consistently, and also some good PGE grades there. So certainly looking to develop on that. I think the really exciting part of the Horn is that we showed the mineralisation is very well defined by the magnetic anomalies that are in the region. So the Horn is well defined around one ellipsoid magnetic high, but there's certainly another four or five of those ellipsoids to long strike to the northwest and another two or three to the southeast. So very excited to get drilling into those magnetic highs, and I fully expect to see some more nickel sulfides and some new discoveries along that trend.
If you were to find mineralisation that would be commercially mineable, is that also a potential feed into the nickel concentrator and smelter?
Yeah, most definitely. Yep. So we are talking with BHP. We have an existing offtake agreement on our Saints project, which certainly, I guess, gave us the platform to continue discussions with BHP. And they've indicated to us that certainly all three of our projects are obviously, you know, high-grade nickel-copper sulfides, shallow at depth, so we can really progress them and fast-track them as required as the nickel price climbs. And all three are within trucking distance of their plants. So certainly an attractive ore to BHP as well.
And, you know, I think they're emphasising they need more low magnesium concentrates to offset the cons that they get from further north that they own themselves.
That's correct. So we're certainly looking at the data. As such, we haven't done any specific MET testing, but certainly the assays that we get back from all of our drilling certainly indicate that we do have the right ratios that they're looking for.
So, Aidan, it may well be that you'll be running two programs that overlap if you continue to drill at Nepean based on the strong results you've had so far, that the Leinster will the Leinster program be pushed out, or will they just continue to do two programs side by side?
No, that's correct. We'll start them side by side. We've got the funds, we've got the people, we've got the rigs, so we're pushing forward and being aggressive as possible. And certainly any sort of discovery intersections along strike or on these more greenfields magnetic targets, then we'll even get, you know, another three or four rigs and really go hard at them.
That's good. Get those geologists working, get the whip out. So you've also got the Saints project, and you talked about this North Kalgoorlie project where you have a smaller program sort of scheduled to start up later in the sort of June quarter. What's the program there?
So again, the Saints we really focused on for the first 12 to 18 months of our nickel sulfide acquisitions. It's obviously our most advanced resource, being a JORC 12 compliant resource, and it's our largest resource. So over 21,000 tonnes of contained nickel at a high grade 2%, which is actually one of the highest grades resources on the ASX currently. So really, for that reason, we could see that there's so much potential at Saints. And the other main thing, obviously, there is looking for that feeder channel mineralisation that the vast majority of these Kambalda-style komatiitic nickel deposits have within this Norseman Wiluna greenstone belt, and thus far at Saints it hasn't been found. So really high potential to find that feeder channel to this nickel-rich system at Saints, this high-grade nickel-rich system, and certainly that's where you're going to get a really significant increase in both tonnes and grade for any resource estimate. So it's been that's been our game there. We've certainly done the grunt work geologically and re-logging all the historic holes and doing a lot of air core to really define that basal ultramafic lava flow and that all-important footwall contact. Through that process, we've identified at least six new channels in that system, and it's really a case of systematically working through those channels with drilling programs to try and vector in on that feeder channel mineralisation. It may be that it lies at depth below the existing St Andrews and St Patrick's channels, but we're certainly taking the shallow approach first and seeing what we can see along strike.
You do the easy things, and it sounds like you've done the sort of low-cost sort of geophysical, geochemical type analysis, and then with any holes that you drill, you could also do the downhole electromag to see if there's anything that looks good off to the side.
That's 100% correct. Yep, we had some very experienced nickel sulfide geologists working as consultants with our team. We currently have Rocky Osborne, who famously found Rocky's Reward. He's on a retainer with us and brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to our geological team. So certainly through that experience and having done it all before, that's exactly the model exploration template that we're following.
You've got to love a geologist whose nickname is Rocky.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Aidan, since we last spoke, you've had quite a few of your options that were well in the money exercised, which has put 1.3 million, I think, into the tin. What's your current treasury look like, and what's the budget for the rest of this calendar year?
Yeah, that's correct. So, having increased the share price quite significantly over the last 6 months, that's certainly brought those options into play. So we still actually have just under 40 million of those options, so the 10-cent strike, and they expire in November this year. So effectively, there's another $4 million we could expect to see come into the kitty in the next 8 to 9 months. And we, having paid for January and February, we're sitting still on just under $4 million in the kitty as is. So certainly around about $8 million cash we have or expect to have, and expiration budget for this year is about $6 million, and that's including January and February that have already been paid for. So very well funded to really go hard. We've got budgeted work programs, as we said, a focused stream of drilling on the expiration targets, those greenfields, blue sky targets, and a focused stream of drilling on the resource and near resource drill outs, if you like, at all three projects. So very aggressive programs for the next 12 months, but as I said, we're well funded to do that, and we have the people to do that, so we're doing it.
So that's quite exciting. You're going to be going pretty hell for leather on those three projects, and at Nepean, you're 80%. You've got likely to have a new 20% partner there in Lodestar, which will be, I think, quite a positive for the whole project as well.
I think so too. It's certainly. Goldfellas have brought us the opportunity, if you like, for the Nepean acquisition, and have been a great partner thus far. But being a public company, I think that just adds that extra depth of knowledge and experience, and the ability to raise funds and really push hard at it.
Yeah, no one likes to see a private company as a partner. I think when both are listed, you know, you've got that exposure from both companies, and you can sort of value it in the share price as well.
That's correct. And also that transparency, I think, is welcome.
So, Aidan, that's very exciting. I think by July you're going to have a very different or a more advanced story to tell on all three of these projects. So I look forward to having you back in and talk to the Stockhead listeners and subscribers, and we can update on the amount of rocks you've got in the ground and when you can start shoveling them over to BHP, earning some dollars.
Sounds very good, Peter. Looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks for coming in today.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having us.